AfterBuzzers, the Outlander After Show is back, and we are in America. Ooh, Lord, help them. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV, Season 4, Episode 1, America the Beautiful. Yes, I'm Adrian Snow.
And I'm Rachel Goodman. I think now is a good time since Outlander's based off a book, to talk about real fast NaNoWriMo and everyone who is participating this year. There are a couple of people in the chat right now. I want to give them a huge shout out. We have Emily, a.k.a. Someone, Taylor, a.k.a. Death, and Audrey, a.k.a. Ocean. They are doing NaNoWriMo with me, which means we have committed to a challenge of writing 50,000 words in 1 month. Yes, we will be the next best authors. At least that's the goal.
Okay. Yeah, is there, so it's just a challenge, and then at the end, is there a thing that happens? Is there a prize, or it's just like the
you get like a pat on the back? It's basically it's about just saying that you're gonna write a novel in a month and doing it and completing it and actually having a finished, well, a novel that probably needs to be edited, but novel,
but first draft.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Exactly.
Cool. All right, so what did first thoughts on the episode, and welcome back.
Yeah, it's great to be back. I did not expect that ending at all, and I know that's jumping way, into the future, but just, all I'm going to say is Stephen Bonnet.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I just want everyone also to stay tuned for our special segment later, because I ended up having to ruin the ending for myself to figure out what our special segment, or to help with our special segment later on in the episode. And so I knew it was coming. And then I also had heard previously that someone had been cast as like the big bad of the season, named by Ed Spilliers. There we go. And once I realized, okay, Ed Spilliers playing Stephen Bonnet, oh, he's the bad guy and all that kind of stuff. And so, and plus, he seemed just like bad news from jump. But we'll get to him. So let's just start off. We're in America, in North Carolina, 1767. I'm Adrian Snow. We did. I'm Adrian Snow. Did you introduce yourself?
Yes. I'm Rachel Goodman.
Yes. Hello again.
Hello, everybody.
When we first did it. So we're in North Carolina, 1767.
Yeah.
And so, we're encountering them with Hayes, and Hayes is unfortunately being sentenced to death for accidentally killing a man whose wife he slept with.
Yeah. And just right from the beginning, like what you were saying, this, we didn't even get his name at first, Stephen Bonnet, just the way that he introduced himself.
Yeah.
I knew, this guy is going to be pretty big. I don't know how or why yet.
He was way too pretty to just be an extra.
And just the focus on him, it was like, that's not a guy who's getting paid to do one line.
No, it's like, that guy. They're like staring at his face for a long time. And he's way too pretty.
He's a known guy. And yeah.
I don't know him, but I know he is known. Is he from
Downton Abbey?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't watch Downton Abbey. I'm sorry, you guys. I can't watch everything. But so we're introduced to that, and Hayes is they're going to try and make a run for it, but Hayes is like, you know what? I did the crime. I'll serve the time and die. And so he's decided to be hung. All that he asks is that they have a drink in his name, which they do, and he passes it on to Mr. Bonnet there, and that he be looking in the eyes of a friend when he dies. And that, for me, was the hardest thing. For Jamie to have to stand there and smile at him, as you know, he's about to die. Ugh,
yeah. God. The fact that he was able to do it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to do that.
I mean, these are obviously, Jamie's a guy who's been through a lot at this point.
Yes.
He's seen a lot. But to watch your friend die that way when you know what's coming, I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that leads them to, basically, it actually ends up, his death leads to the other prisoners trying to make an escape. And through that distraction, Mr. Bonnet decides to make a run for it. And we see him disappear. We don't know where he goes. And so we follow Claire and Jamie and Fergus and Marcelly and Leslie. Whoosh, I got all those names without having to look down on the paper. As they just go on essentially a voyage to not only Barry Hayes, but to get to the Lillington dinner to sell off a ruby that they have, because they still have all these gems from that castle in Scotland way back in 2017.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know what I mean? Not just 2017, but 4 months prior. So, or 5 months prior. God, we've gone through a lot of time.
And everything they've been through, and they still have them.
Yeah, they still have them. Galas didn't get it. Like, good for them.
Yeah.
I would have lost those gems.
Didn't get lost in the wreckage. I mean,
didn't get lost in the ocean.
Yeah. Like,
a lot of stuff happened, just reflecting on not even the last three episodes of season three. So we end up going to Barry Hayes, and we end up dealing with the topic of PTSD through the eyes of Ian.
So first of all, yeah, I instantly was like, okay, I love how they're showing this. I love, for me, it was especially important that we see what I love in film and literature is when we see a male who is crying or upset, because I love that they're showing how realistic it is, that it's not just females that cry,
yeah,
and showing how this guy is dealing with what Galas did to him. And it essentially, she, you know, I don't want to say rape, because, well, basically
she
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But just not only dealing with that, but Jamie being there for him and telling him it's okay, like, you can talk about it, you don't have to hold it in. And that is so refreshing to see.
Yes.
That a male is saying, don't hold it in, let it out, feel, talk about your ghosts so that you can deal with them. And just, you know, everything from that to the fact that young Ian was like, well, the problem is my mind didn't like it, but my body did, and I can't get past that. And just Jamie being there for him and telling him it's okay, it's normal.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, one, I gotta give credit to at least the shows I've been reviewing on AfterBuzz as of late, including Doctor Who on Sunday nights, like at 9 p.m., are really touching on emotional intelligence and vulnerability in men, which is something that
I love. That
I think that's a really great way to kind of put a focus on. You know, I think a lot we talk about toxic masculinity, which is something we've been talking about in Doctor Who a lot. And that phrase has gotten to the point where people immediately get offended by it. But to show the opposite of that, which is it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to talk about sexual assault happening to men and what that means for men, and for them to not, you know, close off or become guarded or to deny it. Which is nice to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not only is it okay, but it actually happens.
Yeah.
And there's this, you know, there's this incorrect thought in, a, you know, in general that people don't think that men go through this, and they do.
Yeah.
And it's okay for men to feel and express their feelings, and I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Is that in, you know, in society, men aren't supposed to feel
or be gotta
open.
Be strong.
Yeah, and it's not true.
And, yeah, you don't have to muscle through life. You know, that's no way of living any more than it is to, never mind. I was like, how am I going to phrase that? It doesn't make any sense. You don't have to muscle through life. And I think that's a great showing that they can be vulnerable, that bad things can happen. And that, you know, for Jamie, this has happened. He's been essentially, raped twice.
Yeah.
When you think about Captain Jack, and then you think about... Oh, no. That lady whose name I forgot, but how she ended up having his child, but it ended up being like she basically coerced him into sex he didn't want. And so that, on top of them talking about the actual process of going through a rape, and that your body can be having a different reaction from what your brain is having, which is something that you don't really hear from when it happens to a man or when it happens to a woman, about the actual experience of it.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that, because it's not something that I think we often in society, the current society, talk about it as this kind of bubble that we kind of linger around. But, you know, it's also as a courtesy to survivors, and also I think it just a discomfort of being like, well, let's talk about the process of it, and that the intricacies of it, and that is part of the problem, that two people are going into a situation where one can definitely be walking out saying, I was raped, and then the person can be walking out saying, oh, it was just sex.
Yeah.
And when we are able to talk about it and the delicacies of it, like the intricacies and the delicate way that it happens, or, yeah, I'm getting nervous talking about it at this moment. It allows for, I think, a lot of those misconceptions and confusions to kind of be aired out. That's what I'm trying to say. There we go. So it was just really nice just to have that moment between them, and to also give Ian basically like a support animal. I was like, oh, they give him an emotional support animal. That's kind of, in a weird way, kind of cool with Rolo being introduced as well.
Oh, I loved Rolo.
Yeah.
And I don't want to jump to the end, but I just want to say the worst part of the end for me was not knowing the fate of the
Rolo
dog.
If Rolo was alive or dead.
Yeah. I was like, nope. How's the dog? How's the dog?
The worst part, but it was certainly one of the parts where I'm like,
yeah,
I kind of need to know how that wolf dog is. Did the wolf dog kill the dude and he's fine? Or what, did they get the dog?
What I'm hoping is that, you know, maybe he got the dude and then just swam away to safety and they're going to find him next episode. I know it's kind of
fingers crossed. Seriously. I believe the dog is in the books. Maybe.
Cool.
I might be wrong. I'm sorry. We're working on that.
I need that dog to be alive.
Yes. But just, you know, speaking of hope, I don't know. I'm trying to do a delicate thing. Do you have something to share with us?
Well, we have a lot of comments in the chat, so maybe I should do a couple of shout-outs here. Okay, so Alexandra Sandu says, the degrees of sexual abuse will never end, regardless of gender. It's basically just another form of violence or aggression. Marilee Ortega says, it's really interesting that Jamie referred to is 22 youngins, I don't know if I'm reading this correctly,
22,
not having a conscience, but that he does the yummy and had a conscience. Okay, I think he's referring to that quote, or she's referring to that quote about your mind being aware of what you're doing, but your body just not, and making that choice. I don't want to actually say the quote because it was like, you know, a little bit too inappropriate for this, but it basically, Jamie was saying that your body might like it, but your mind knows it's wrong. Kind of what we were saying. And then we have one more comment. Alyssa Gosage, I'm sorry if I said that wrong. It's been reported that 20% of women who are raped report having an orgasm during the rape. Doesn't change that it was rape. So exactly. That's the point. Still rape.
I mean, there was, and I could be wrong, but there used to be, there's some study or some article I read a long time ago where they said that your body reacting in a pleasurable way is often a way to protect itself, so that damage, physical damage that could potentially happen from an assault would be reduced because your body is
more open.
Producing things that it needs to produce in order to make it pleasurable. But still rape. But I believe you have something to share with us.
Absolutely.
In terms of here at AfterBuzz Studios. So
obviously you guys love Outlander. Our network produces after shows for all of your other favorite TV shows. Well, a lot of them, I shouldn't say all. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. When you subscribe to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you. And you'll help AfterBuzz, that's us, continue to grow. If you're worried about those notifications, don't worry, because you can turn them off. So you can go ahead and subscribe, not worry about notifications or getting bombarded on your laptop, phone, whatever. So go ahead, hit that subscribe button. And let us know, because then we will read it. We'll read your name, give you a shout out live on air, letting everyone know that you subscribed. So for now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes, thank you guys so much. As always, please do subscribe, rate us on iTunes, comment, tweet at us. We do read the tweets. We do even sometimes read the comments on YouTube. So we appreciate everything you have to say. And we do hear you on that note. So we're following a line, following along after the burial phase. I'm still going to skip over Bonnet because he's a bigger part of the episode. Yeah. So we're just going to politely jump over him and we'll come back. And we are brought to the Lillington dinner.
Yeah.
Where Jamie and Claire have decided to sell off one of the gemstones. It was a nice introduction of these characters. I wish we'd had a little bit more time with the governor and Governor Tyron or Tyrone. No, it's Tyron and Mr. Lillington. Just because I was like, okay, they're here and they're not, and are we going to see them again? Or I assume we're going to see Governor Tyron again. Maybe not Lillington.
I would assume. The other thing is that really jumped out at me mm-hmm. is why Claire wasn't more adamant of, hey, Jamie, you know that the British lose, and if you take this land grant, mm-hmm. We're going to be screwed.
Yeah.
So to me, if I was Claire, that was the one issue, the big issue I had with this.
He didn't take it, though, did he?
I don't think he did, but yeah. Not just the fact that she didn't like start the argument with, you know, right up front at the beginning of the conversation, hey, mm-hmm. you can't take this mm-hmm. because we'll pretty much die. Mm-hmm. Or not necessarily die, but mm-hmm. it's going to be taken from mm-hmm. us anyway. That to me is why I'm a little confused when they're deciding whether they're going to stay in Scotland or go back to America or stay in America. And I love what Jamie had to say that mm-hmm. he wanted to stay in a land that will be Brianna's. I mm-hmm. love that reasoning. Mm-hmm. But I'm also thinking, you guys know that Claire anyway, and Jamie, because he's with Claire, mm-hmm. they know there's going to be this major war. Mm-hmm. To me, they've been through enough. Why are they in America? Go back to Scotland for a little bit. Mm. Wait it out. When the war's over, you can come on back. that would have been my reasoning, but...
I see that reasoning, but I also think it's much harder.
Yeah.
To
That is true.
It would be much harder for them to come back to America after America
is no longer associated with England.
America, yeah. I think it's... I was surprised that they didn't mention any type of backlash to Jamie being Scottish in America.
Yeah.
At least the very little I know about Scotsmen coming to America at that time, they weren't necessarily treated on equal footing as an Englishman. So,
yeah.
And often they were indentured servants, if I'm correct. But
a lot of times.
So I kind of wanted to see that aspect of it too, that they were touching on that difference. So to not have that happen in that dinner scene was odd to me. And then what were you going to say?
I think it was when they mentioned Jamie's aunt.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I could feel that they were especially interested in him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it was.
Okay.
Is that because of who his aunt is, mm-hmm. she must have a certain place in society,
yeah.
which brings him to a certain place.
Okay, so he doesn't have to. Well, yeah, I guess I was expecting to see a little bit more of that, if not to Jamie, but at least to Leslie and Hayes.
Yeah.
Or even, Fergus is French, but still, like, there would be some type of weirdness around that. And maybe they'll bring that up later, maybe they won't. I just thought that was going to be a part of it. But just speaking to them going to Scotland instead, I just think it would be it's going to be difficult either way. They're not going to have an easy life. I don't know much about Scottish history, but I don't think it gets any easier between 1767
I would say no, the
early 1900s. So I was like, well, you know, I understand that desire to want to start anew, to have maybe build a life where they can own some land and it be separate from all the drama left in Scotland. And so I get that desire to figure out if they can stay in America. And I appreciate it.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, I know I don't want to say anything because I haven't read the books, but I've read the summaries of the books.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what ends up happening in America,
mm-hmm.
specifically with another character that we haven't seen. So
we won't say anything about that. But yeah.
But I do love the fact that they, as we see Jamie and Claire, we had a lot of slow moments with them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really a nice touch after everything they went to last season.
Yeah. Well, let's just go into Jamie and Claire because we haven't touched on them yet. It's nice to see them kind of, it was a very calm episode, which made me
almost
nervous. Yeah. I was like, this is going, I mean, Hayes tied at the top there and that sucks, but outside of that, everything seems to be
really cool.
Pretty okay between Jamie and Claire, you know. They're all lovey-dovey, and he's describing thermodynamics to her without realizing he's describing thermodynamics. And
can we touch on that conversation? Mm-hmm. Because that was probably my favorite thing that I've ever heard them discuss in the time that I've been, you know, in all of the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he was like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, my body will die one day, but my soul will always belong to you. I was like, wow, that is amazing. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that he feels like he just feels so strongly for her that he knows even death can't make, you know, keep them apart.
Yeah. And it's nice to see that they are wiser versions of themselves this season. It's not to say that they weren't becoming that way last season, but even through, I mean, the makeup and the hair and, you know, the obvious signs of them aging, you see that they are also just more mature than they were.
Definitely.
Season one, season two. They aren't screaming at each other and pulling each other's hair and slapping. They used to have some intense fights, y'all.
Yeah.
So to have them be really gentle with each other, to have them be really vulnerable and talk about things about when they pass and what that means and wanting to settle down. This is really the first time we've heard them talk about, let's settle down and maybe build a house and have some land and build a life. And maybe that's something that, you know, Brianna can have later down the line. And so I appreciate that they had that moment of calmness before we've arrived.
Now, in all fairness, they did foreshadow it from the very beginning of the episode when Bonnet said, be careful in these woods. There are lots of thieves.
Yeah, he said that. And then he also said that he favors rings. And
he was very much so admiring her rings.
I just have to say, my first impression of Stephen Bonnet was, why is this surfer guy on Outlander? I was like, is he about to turn into Patrick Swayze a la Point Break? I don't get it. He just had a lot of swagger to him that did not seem to match the times. And I felt taken out of it slightly because of that.
I wrote in my notes, I don't trust this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get away from him as quickly as we can.
Why would you ever trust somebody who was about to be hanged for murder? Like, sure. Wait, I mean, he said, like, well, it was a similar thing to what happened to Hayes.
Of course he did.
But, I mean, can you not feel the Point Break Swayze coming off of him? Don't you know that he will shoot you in the back and you won't be able to shoot him back because you love him so much? Sorry, that's a little reference for Point Break and Hot Fuzz. But, it was just kind of, you should have known. And then also, when you realize that he was there when they were talking about the gemstones, because they were talking about it as they were carrying Hayes's body, you're like, oh,
crap. Jamie said, how much did you hear?
And
I would not have trusted that guy.
They should have killed him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they should just be out there murdering people, but, you know, he should have. They should have turned him in.
Yeah.
Maybe cut off a leg. I don't know.
When they were going through that checkpoint, gone with him there. Here you go.
Do not trust him.
But at the same time, would I have characteristically expected Jamie and Claire to do anything differently?
No.
But it's like, it makes sense what they did. Yes,
it does.
Makes sense. And that's the thing is that what if, now, okay, obviously this Stephen Bonnet guy is no good, but in another, if there had been someone else, first of all, Stephen Bonnet, pretty convincing guy, even though it was obvious he was going to turn on them, but you can tell this guy is really good at working people and playing a certain guy to get them to trust him. Not necessarily trust, like, 100%, but trust him enough to help him and then let him be on his way. So just to me, I don't blame them for doing what they did. It was just one of those things where, as an outsider looking in on this, very obvious.
I don't blame them for what they did either, but it's classic psychopathic tendencies from the coming off that dude in waves.
They even said at the end when they were going over the review of the episode that this guy, they specifically made him take qualities of his victims and kind of like embody them. And then when he would attack, kind of go and like use that against them. So that, I found that very interesting. And that guy who, you know, Stephen Bonnet, the actor.
Ed Spilliers.
Yeah, great job with that for him.
Great job. Work on that 20th century swagger, my friend. Just bring it back a bit. You're in the 1700s. Okay. So just, you know.
Yeah.
Don't. 21st century. Sorry. I always forget we're not in the 20th century.
Yeah.
Because I was born in the 20th century. Yeah, but 21st century swagger. Just bring it back.
Yeah.
So in any case, we follow Claire and Jamie onto a boat, and they're on their way to see his aunt. His aunt.
Yes. Yeah, the one who's been married many times.
Jocasta. Yeah. Jocasta. I wrote her last name down. Jocasta.
And then
Cameron.
Cameron.
Yes.
Yeah, the poets and the
jesters.
Jesters, yeah.
And all of them. I mean, she's called the Widow Cameron. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Because all of them have died. To the point where I was like, is she killing these men?
I thought he was going somewhere with that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he hasn't seen her since he was a lad.
Yeah.
So maybe she did kill
maybe
them.
She did. But they just seemed to have really bad luck.
Yeah.
And she married the entire family. I just think that's hilarious. I'm excited to be introduced to Jocasta Cameron because she's also played by the actress Mary. Oh, she played. Oh, dang it. I know she wrote it down. If anyone in the chat can remember the name of the aunt in Orphan Black.
She plays. I have not seen that. So. Yeah.
So that actress will be coming on to Outlander. Yes.
We have a couple of comments in the chat. So I guess I can say this. It's a bit of a spoiler. It's not a huge spoiler. Mm-hmm. It's about the dog. Laurie Stone Haskell says, the dog is a big part of the whole season. Thank you. The dog is alive. Okay. I can go home and sleep now.
Good. I would be very upset.
And then Alexandra Sandu says, the thing is that, the sex is very much present in the books too. Mm-hmm. I don't blame TV for exploiting people's taste. It was the way it was presented, felt pointless. We have a couple people agreeing with that.
With the sex?
Yeah, scene? That it was pointless. I, personally, I didn't find it pointless. Mm-hmm. There have been episodes of Outlander where I thought, okay, yeah, this is a lot of sex. But this particular episode, mm-hmm. I thought the way that they were speaking with each other mm-hmm. and the dialogue and the way they showed it, I thought mm-hmm. was perfect.
I'm sorry, do we not watch Outlander for sex? Is that something? I thought, isn't it not kind of like a sci-fi romance novel? And that's not talking down to it. It's just saying, like, that's a big part of...
I mean, it is romance.
It's a romance, yeah. So
how it's marketed.
I will always be here for the sex scene. There was one season where I actually complained because they went so long without them having sex. I was like, can they please have sex? So, you know, take it while you can get it, you guys. Because I'm sure they're not going to have sex for a long time after what just happened.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we get to...
Yeah.
But I see what you mean. So we get to the boat where they're on their way to see Jocasta. And we're introduced to Captain Freeman and Eutrochilus. Ah, yes.
Yeah.
And we learn that Eutrochilus is actually a freed slave. And so I was curious as to how they were going to introduce slavery.
I was too.
This is never comfortable. And so the introduction of it, one, already being something they've already experienced as a way of life, so they're not taken aback by it, though I don't imagine they would be as, slavery, I guess, is still happening in the UK, but kind of at beginning to come to its end. I could be wrong.
It was,
if you're a UK fan, please correct me.
It was like 1804 mm-hmm. when England banned, the slavery. Slave trade.
Okay, so we still have about 40 more years or so. So things are, or at least about 100 years ahead of where where America is at that point. But I liked that they introduced Eutrochilus as being a freed slave, and the idea of Captain Freeman freeing him because Eutrochilus saved his life. And that's not to say that I think Captain Freeman's like, oh, such a great guy because he did that. Not at all. But
because look at how hard he was making him work.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, paid or not.
Yeah. So, and he's still essentially doing the same work, but now he gets like a little bit of money on top of it.
Plus, so how do we know what the wage even is?
Exactly. Yeah. So, but I did appreciate that they showed a slightly different aspect from what we expect to see when we see a slave story introduced on television and film. So that's about as much credit as I'm going to give Captain Freeman. And that's it. But they're on their voyage. And I guess they dock. So they dock so that Freeman and Eutrochilus can sleep.
Yeah.
And how was he tracking them this whole way?
So
that's where I got confused.
That's okay. So this is what I think. Mm-hmm. I bet he was kind of stalking them without mm-hmm. being obvious. Mm-hmm. He probably knew those woods really well.
Yeah.
He probably got back with his, you know, posse. Mm-hmm. And then he probably was like, all right, we need to basically keep an eye on these people, follow what they're doing, track them mm-hmm. without being seen. So he probably had different people kind of watching them without it even being obvious. And that's probably how we got to where we were. Mm. That's what I'm guessing. He seems like a guy who, when he wants something, he will find a way and he will be good at doing it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at this point, if you didn't realize that Stephen Bonnet was an absolute piece of crap, it was confirmed when he straight up jumped on the boat, beat the crap out of Jamie after Jamie already saved his life, not once, but twice, because he could have just left him where he found him.
And then had his five men, like, just keep beating him.
Yes. So beat him, stole the gems. Then, because he's a psychopath, had one of his men go down and try to steal Claire's ring. And then when he didn't get the ring...
She tried to...
Well, no. We haven't even gotten to that part yet. When the guy didn't get the ring, Leslie stepped in to save Claire.
Yeah.
And Stephen just came up and slit Leslie's throat. Like, yeah. I was not expecting
him to
for all the Scotsmen to die.
Yeah.
pretty much all of them but Jamie, all the Scotsmen, have died. And so... Now it's really just Fergus, Marcelly, Jamie, and Claire, and Rollo and Ian. Oh, so Ian's still there. That are alive. That kind of blew my mind.
Yeah, and they didn't even, maybe I missed it. I didn't even see where Ian was at the end of that scene.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, but.
Oh,
but I
wait,
don't know.
Ian.
Because they showed it so quickly.
Yeah.
I
think he ended up, I can't remember. I think he ended up coming out. I thought I saw he was in the room with Claire, and then he punched someone and ran to the other side of the boat, and then yeah. I didn't see him again.
So, presumably.
Presumably. And then Stephen ends up taking the, spitting out the ring. And this is something we're going to get into. Are you about to say something about the ring? Or which ring
about
he took?
About the ring, yeah.
Which ring he took?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go into our special segment then. So, I don't know if we have any music for that or anything like that. We'll get that later. Let's... Look at that. You ask for something and it comes. It sounds like an unsolved mystery. But we're in a special segment called Book to Screen. So I know all of you book fans have been out there being like, they'll never talk about the books because we don't read the books normally. We want to focus on the TV show. But for this season, we're going to do something where we just talk about subtle differences that have happened between the book and the TV show. So if you are a TV show only person and you don't want to hear about any differences at all, you can tune out right now and come back in about 3 minutes. Just hit that little skip on the iTunes and YouTube and we'll be done. So in the book,
yeah,
the ring that he takes is Frank's ring.
Because she almost swallowed Frank's ring, and that's the one she still has.
She almost swallowed both of them. She put both of them in her mouth.
Yeah.
So in the book, he takes Frank's ring, probably because I had to kind of dig for the information this week. I swear next week I will have read the book, and I'll be able to give it to you straight from the mouth, from the horse's mouth or whatever. But the reason that they said they changed it, Ronald D. Moore said at a panel why he changed it, was because for something that happens later on when another character is introduced, I mean, I guess I can say it. If you're only book readers here, when Brianna is introduced and brought back into time and when she encounters Stephen Bonnet, they wanted the ring to be distinguishable. So they wanted it to be something that she would recognize as being her mother's ring, which is why they didn't do Frank's ring. Even though Frank's ring makes more sense in terms of it being like the circle that Bonnet prefers... That's why they made that change.
Because that ring that... Okay, so this is the only question I had about Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, I'm assuming Frank's ring is actual gold.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie's ring, I thought, wasn't really...
It's from the key of his home. So it's not... It doesn't have any value, but I don't think he took it for value. I think he likes rings. So that was one change. Another change is that in the books, we see them actually go through... a little bit more of the travel, I believe, from Georgia to North Carolina. They have a few more steps down in Charleston that we don't see in the show, and that's probably just due to time.
Yeah.
And then another change that happens from book to screen is that Marcelie is not with them in America because she's already pregnant when they're in Jamaica. So she chooses to stay, and Fergus comes along with them to the Americas. So that was a nice little change from the book to have in the TV show, where you can have both Marcelie and Fergus there and have their dynamic explored as a newly married and soon to be parents couple. So that'll be really nice to see. And then that's it for the book differences this episode. We'll definitely come back and have every week and have different book differences that we'll explore. And I'll certainly have more for next week, maybe even with a few little pictures for you YouTubers. Yeah. But that's kind of what I want to touch on in terms of the differences with the book. And then lastly, a big change that I liked in terms of the show this year was a change in the theme song. So it went from the classic theme to the banjo, Americanized theme song.
I love how they change it every season.
They do.
Yeah.
I think even when they were in France, did she sing it in French at one point?
I think so, but... Yeah, I think it might have been different too in season two, but I just love like the Caribbeans. Like,
We had a little Caribbean. So and this once we reached the Americas, Caribbean. Yeah, like we get more of it. We always get like a nice little subtle change. Yeah, so that's nice to see as well. I think that's all I have. Is there anything from the chat or anything else that you want to touch on before we wrap up?
Yeah, we have a lot in the chat. I'm sorry if I didn't get to everyone, but always join us next week and will always be scanning the chat and trying to read as many comments as we can. Alexandra Sandu says, I thought the modern sound did not fit the scene. I think she means
America the Beautiful.
See, to me, I actually disagree with that. I loved the way that they did that, even though, obviously, song is not from that era, obviously.
I mean, they did the Batman theme last season, too, when she was getting her stuff together to go back.
Yeah.
I appreciated it because it made it all the more tragic because they were so hopeful. I could say something. I'll say it. There's there's this kind of sad theme, and they even touch on it about the idea of America versus the way America became America in terms of
when they were camping,
and they talk about how the natives were essentially wiped out. You think about slavery and the repercussions of slavery. I'm a descendant of slaves, and so there's. It was a nice idea. And I get the original intent and the hope that they show through Jamie and Claire's eyes about what America will be. And there are certainly beautiful things about America, but it's never been without complications. And so you can say that for every country, you know, that's ever existed. But I don't know. There was just something about them having that moment of hope about, okay, we're going to build this life together and having it taken away. Played to America the Beautiful by Ray Charles. It was just so, I don't know, I guess in this time it's kind of poignant. So,
yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. It almost speaks to kind of, I had to say this, the nature of their relationship. Every time anything positive happens, it's all like ripped out from under them. But one, but two, it's almost, speaking to America itself.
Yeah.
Big dreams, and then people come in and rip them right out from under you.
Yeah, speaking of that, just a reminder for you all who have ease of access, please go and vote tomorrow, November 6th. I won't say my own personal how I think you should vote, but I recommend that everyone take the time if they can and if they have the access to get to a voting booth, to get to a voting booth. All right. America. So,
On that note,
I think that about wraps up our show. Let's go ahead and get into predictions.
Yeah.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. I guess since you mentioned Brianna, I can mention her right now. My prediction is that she's going to, when she comes back...
Maybe I only mentioned that for the book readers. Okay. So
maybe we don't go there.
So, yeah. That's
I think that, and this, some of this is coming off of the fact that they had the preview at the end of the episode, too. Mm-hmm. I don't think Claire and Jamie's aunts are going to get along at all. Mm. And I think that that's going to be very hard for them dealing mm-hmm. with her. I don't even know if Jamie's going to get along with her either. Mm-hmm. That she might be kind of disagreeable and just not, you know, obviously they're from two different worlds and they just don't see eye to eye and more problems. And I have a feeling that Stephen Bonnet is going to be a recurring villain in mm-hmm. this season, and that he's just going to keep getting worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And maybe he's so psychotic that it isn't just a hit and run kind of thing. Maybe he's going to keep attacking them.
Like a Jack Randall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what I feel like. Different, but.
Yeah. I get the similar feeling. I didn't get to see the preview. I was rushing out to get here, but I don't know of any member of Jamie's family that is easy to get along with outside of Jamie at first meeting. So Claire has always run into issues with the family, so I'm not surprised by that. I do think, however, now that they've lost those gemstones,
yeah.
that the offer of Governor Tyrone is going to come back up in terms of just them being able to have land and to survive. And I think also based off of what we see a little bit in the opening song, that's going to be their introduction to slavery. and because it was a big old plantation and they were getting off the boat to it. And maybe that's not the case. Maybe that's Ancho Costa's place. But in any case, that's going to be, I think, where they're headed is grappling with that American or not American colony mindset of this is what you do when you own land. Yeah. So that's where we're headed. All right. Well, that wraps it up for this week's AfterBuzz after show of Outlander. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. And where can they follow you?
I am Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Rach Goodman. You can also find me on the Young and the Restless AfterBuzz show on Sunday nights at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I'm also on Ray Donovan now, which is on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. So, Ray Donovan AfterBuzz show. Let me specify that. Yeah. I am not on Ray Donovan.
Someday.
Someday. I have big dreams. But, if you're a Ray Donovan or Young and the Restless fan, be sure to check me out there.
And you can also catch me on Sundays on Doctor Who at 9. We will also be moving after next week to Sunday nights. So you'll see us after the show has aired at 8 o'clock. And then you can catch me tomorrow night for the first two episodes of the Lore After Show for all you Lore fans. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Have a great night, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.